Hello and welcome to the Chris Allen podcast, brought to you in association with WCRFM number 1 for Wolverhampton. You can hear WCRFM on 101.8, also via WCRFM.com or by telling your smart speaker to play WCRFM. In this week's podcast, we're going to be reflecting on the anniversary of the invasion of Ukraine. We'll be hearing from Stuart Anderson, MP, Councillor Dr. Michael Hardacre, the Deputy Mayor of the City of Wolverhampton, Councillor Stephen Simpkins, who's the Deputy Leader of the City of Wolverhampton Council, Jane Stevenson, MP, Mikhail Fedik, who's the Chair of the Ukrainian Youth Association, and also prebendary David Wright of St Peter's Church as well. We'll also be hearing from Councillor Ian Brookfield, the Leader of the City of Wolverhampton Council, his own reflections on Ukraine, plus the preservation of Greenbelt and how that battle is being won with no blade of grass being turned over for building. We'll also be hearing the priorities for the new budget. The Director of Public Health, John Denley, will be talking about the success of the new health app, which has now had 8,000 downloads, and how Wolverhampton is leading the way in pioneering new ideas for outreach. And finally, we'll be hearing from Shoba Asar-Paul, who's the Chief Executive of the All Saints Action Network, explaining all the opportunities to get involved with ASAN. First of all, though, our reflections on the anniversary of Putin's illegal invasion of Ukraine. Here's Stuart Anderson, MP.
Stuart, really great to be here today, isn't it? And to show solidarity with the Ukrainian community here in Wolverhampton.
Yeah, it's brilliant to come here. 1 year on since the dreadful invasion by Putin into Ukraine, but to see what our city has done, coming together to support Ukrainians, giving them a home here and doing so much for them, it is an honour to be here today, yes.
And when you thought back a year, I suppose we all hoped it would be quick, but it's not going to be quick, is it?
No, this is dragged on, and it's so many loss of lives over in Ukraine, people rehomed, lost their houses. It's just been a complete atrocity. We must continue to do everything we can to support the Ukrainians, and we must make them welcome here, as we have done, and continue that, and not lose any effort in helping them win back Ukraine and having their homes.
It's obviously a very difficult question to answer this one, but could the West be doing more? Could NATO be doing more? Could we be doing more?
Well, we've done so much already, and there's always more you can do. And I like how the UK has led many of the West in supporting Ukraine. We've been at the forefront of it. We've been training people over there well before the invasion, and we're doing a lot now. I will always keep pushing to do more, and we've got to keep doing more, but we can't lose any momentum in supporting them.
And as an ex-service personnel yourself, you know, what are your feelings when you see people on the front line fighting for their freedom?
It's you have admiration, sadness as well because of the loss of life. And I've been fortunate with NATO as a UK representative into NATO Parliamentary Assembly. I've been across all the Ukrainian-Russian borders looking at the war effort over there and seeing how we can ensure that we continue to help them. A huge admiration for anybody that steps up and puts themselves forward to defend their country.
Stuart, thanks very much.
Thank you very much.
And with me is the Deputy Mayor of the City of Wolverhampton, Councillor Dr. Michael Hardacre. Michael, you had the privilege today, I would say, of raising the flag and sharing some thoughts.
Absolutely. It's really important on behalf of the 90 plus refugees that we have here from the Ukraine, for the Ukrainian population that lives here in Wolverhampton, has done for 50, 60, 70 years, and for the nation of Ukraine, that we here in Great Britain make clear our opposition to what's going on, and that we want our government to do everything in its power to stop the invasion and to deal with the humanitarian and civil crisis that is Ukraine at this moment.
And some of the numbers that have been shared there by our fellow citizens from Ukraine, they're horrific. They're almost unimaginable.
Yeah, 14 million people displaced across the whole of Europe. There's hundreds of thousands in this country. It's just an absolute mess that needs resolving, and it's going to need a worldwide effort. This is going to restore the Ukraine is going to look like something like the Marshall Plan that rebuilt Europe after the Second World War. And this is a horror that those of us who've looked at history and know our history of from World War II thought that World War II would stop all this sort of business in Europe.
So on this 1 year anniversary, we all hoped originally it would be short. We believed it probably wouldn't be. What is your hope on this day?
Well, my hope is that there will be a resolution, whether that resolution is an internal one within Russia, or whether that is that eventually the Russian armies are defeated so severely in battle. I couldn't surmise. It would be good if, even in a repressive state like Russia, if there could be a true opposition. And part of the problem in Russia is that there isn't a political opposition to what is being done that can be organised in the corridors of power. It's a fight for democracy, this is.
And we, you know, we have the privilege of democracy in this country, privilege of freedom in the city. What can ordinary Wolfrunians do to keep supporting the Ukraine?
Help these people at the Ukrainian Centre by bringing all the things that they need. And that's everything. Anything that you've got spare, whether it's nappies, whether it's, you know, sanitary products, whether it's cleaning stuff, whether it's clothes or whatever, get it to the Ukrainian Centre. It will be used.
Mike, thanks very much indeed.
Pleasure.
So with me is Councillor Stephen Simpkins, the Cabinet Member for the Inclusive Economy, and Bilston East as well, down here showing some solidarity with the people of Ukraine today.
Yeah, I want to echo what the Mayor said about human rights and humanity. You know, human rights means right to be treated humanely everywhere in the world, and we must never forget that. And the show of support today in Wolverhampton has been absolutely tremendous. But it harps us back that there's still war in the world, and we want to stop be talking about peace and how we broker the peace, and that's what we're here today. Our city is a city of sanctuary, which means if you're seeking sanctuary, you're welcome here. And that's true, as you can see by the amount of Ukrainian support and Ukrainian people and the friends that have come from Ukraine under difficult circumstances. So it's heartwarming but still concerning that war continues, but Wolverhampton's in a good place, as you've heard from what was said by the Ukrainian community. It's important that we do support as many people as we can, because we're all part of the world.
Indeed, and Wolverhampton, you know, is an inclusive city. It aims to be that in every possible way, and this is another way in which it's able to reflect that. What are your feelings towards the Ukrainian community who live through this day by day more than we do?
It's got to be absolutely horrendous. I couldn't really put myself into their position where their family and loved ones are in so abject danger. So that's a strange concept to us. We can sympathise and empathise as greatly, but we'll never know how they actually feel. All that we can do is to be have our city open, listen and learn moving forward. And I think that's what we do well in Wolverhampton.
Stephen, thank you.
As ever, it's a pleasure.
And with me is MP Jane Stevenson from Wolverhampton North East. Your reflections really on that ceremony, Jane?
Incredibly moving, and to see so many of our Wolfrunian Ukrainian community out to support and show our solidarity and our absolute backing for Ukraine and for all they're doing. They are fighting a war on behalf of everyone in the world, really, not just Europe. And I think to show that backing is incredibly important. It's a very sad day, but really moving. And yeah, I was very pleased to be able to be here.
And the Deputy Mayor was sort of saying about this is at the heart of democracy. We have the privilege of democracy here. So that picture, actually, this battle is for all of us, as you say.
It is. And you know, Putin, you mustn't reward. I'm a big dog trainer. You can't reward bad behaviour. And I think with Putin, he cannot be seen to get advantage to win in this war. He won't stop at Ukraine. You know, he will continue to try and rebuild a former Soviet era. It mustn't happen. It can't happen. And I think the whole of the European community and the whole of the world, well, most of the world community, has been absolutely solid behind Ukraine and behind President Zelensky, who I heard in Westminster Hall last week. I think, you know, there's not a chink in government over this. We are fully behind Ukraine, and we will continue in things like Operation Interflex, training soldiers So they're much better prepared than their Russian
counterparts. And the balance, it is very difficult to know how far NATO goes, how far the UK goes in terms of support. Is there any more that could be done that are in your heads? And everybody will have their own opinion on this one.
I think the UK, I mean, we've always led from the front, and Zelensky asked for jets. We have to establish if that's the most useful.
So training is going to be vital in this, isn't it?
Training is. We have to see the pieces together. Our jets are maybe not exactly what Ukraine needs, but as a European community, I think the same with tanks. Us sending tanks that has freed up the Leopards to go and support the forces there. So it's about a combined European response. I sit on a Council of Europe delegation. And finally got a resolution passed with Ukrainian colleagues in November to send all air defences, to send all weapons available from members of Council of Europe, which rejected those sort of amendments several times. I don't think there's any fatigue in among European partners. We do have to see this through, and we have to make it as quick as possible, because the effects of war are just so horrific, and you know what they're going through in Ukraine and the humanitarian fallout is absolutely awful. So,
and in terms of you know you're in a position of power there, and obviously using that appropriately, for us ordinary Wolfrunians, what can we do?
Well, I think Wolverhampton has shown this morning its solidarity, its kindness, its inclusion with Ukrainians. We obviously have Wolfrunian Ukrainians who've been here today, and that was absolutely lovely to chat to them, and they do feel supported by our city here and by the UK. And I think we need to keep speaking up, keep that humanitarian kindness going. But Wolverhampton has reacted brilliantly to the whole conflict, and it was a very proud morning, even though it's incredibly sad, to see such strength of spirit.
And it's great, you know, to see people from the different sides of the political world coming together, because this is something that we are absolutely united on.
There is such a united front from across the chamber, and that is really important.
Jane, thank you very much indeed.
My name is Mikhailo Roman Fedik. I'm from the Ukrainian community of Wolverhampton. I'm on the church parish council and also chairman of the Ukrainian Youth Association here.
And earlier you spoke with such passion about the situation, and some of the numbers you were talking about there are absolutely overwhelming.
It is. It's absolutely horrific what's happening in Ukraine. You know, so many people displaced, so many people killed, so many people injured. It's nothing like this has been seen in Europe since the Second World War. It's horrific that it's happening today in the 21st century.
I'm just reminded of some of those numbers you were talking about, because I think it's very hard for us to get our heads around them.
Yes, I mean, you know, it's to say 14 million homeless people in Ukraine, 12.5 million refugees, you know, of which 185,000 are here in Great Britain, and many of them in Wolverhampton. It's just fantastic what the country, our greatest ally now, Britain, Ukraine's greatest ally, is doing so much to help Ukraine in this hour of need.
And you particularly highlighted the situation in Mariupol, you know, hit devastatingly early on in the war, and just related its size to Liverpool.
Yes, I mean, when you think about it, when you consider it, you know, a population of Mariupol was around 1 million, and that is roughly the population of Liverpool. And to imagine that scale just gone, totally disappeared, wiped off the face of the earth, nothing there. It's horrific, and that's just one city. There's many cities like that.
And what can people of Wolverhampton keep on doing?
Well, we call for your support. Don't grow tired of your support. Keep supporting Ukraine. What Wolverhampton is doing at the moment, you are our allies. You are saving lives. You are helping us to victory. And we must stop this Russian aggressor once and for all, so the rest of Europe is safe.
Prebendary David Wright here outside St. Peter's, also in the Civic Centre here at the raising of the Ukrainian flag.
I detect a sense of humility really around the place and people wishing they could do more.
I think you're right. I mean, I think the most important thing people can do is not forget. It's so easy to get compassion fatigue, you know, when it's on the news day after day and it drops further down the news agenda because it's been going on for so long. And perhaps what today says is we haven't forgotten. We do still stand with the people of Ukraine. We're still praying for them. We're still supporting them. And we're still longing for peace to return to that troubled country.
Indeed. And as a person of faith yourself, we heard a faith analogy used there in one of the speeches about us holding up the arms of Moses so the battle could wage, and that support for the people of Ukraine is going to need to continue perhaps for some time yet.
I think it is, and I think one of the things that can help people's morale is to know they're being supported. They may not necessarily see it because it may not be everybody that sees the results of the support, but actually to know you're being supported, to know you're being prayed for, to know there are people there who are just on your side and who want peace for you and justice for you, that really does, I think, raise people's morale.
And obviously, being a key part of the faith community here in Wolverhampton, do you detect any people feeling, oh, you know, let's pray for something else? Is it still at their heart in terms of keeping the people of Ukraine in their minds?
I think it is. I think it's one of these things that, you know, you can pray for other things and continue to pray for Ukraine. I think, you know, God has the capacity, and we as a church, we as Christians have the capacity to pray for all things that are needful, if that makes sense. And actually, we can continue to pray for Ukraine without neglecting other things that are going on in the world as well. But just to keep praying for that which is needing prayer, and Ukraine is, you know, is so much in need of prayer.
And as you reflect on some of the atrocities being done, you see evil in its full face, really. What are your feelings as a person of faith?
My mother-in-law used to say about she lived through the war, and she always said wars make good people do bad things. And I think there are atrocities being committed, and they're being committed by people who 13 months ago were just ordinary soldiers. And, you know, I'm desperately sad for the people of Ukraine, but also desperately sad for those who, against their will, are being forced into somebody else's land, with weaponry, and forced to inflict suffering on their next door neighbours. I just, my principal sympathy and prayer is the people of Ukraine, but also for those who are the aggressors, that you know, their hearts might be turned to peace, and, you know, just what scars this will leave on everybody involved, the years will tell us, but I'm sure they'll be deep and they'll be very painful.
And one day we will reach a point where reconciliation is needed.
I hope and pray that's true. I mean, conflicts always seem to end, but it's just whether they end with justice, whether they end with fairness, and whenever they end, you can't erase a lot of the damage that's been done. So the sooner it ends, the less more damage will be done, and, you know, the better things will be.
David, thank you.
My pleasure.
That's the Reverend Prebendary David Wright. And before that, we heard from Stuart Anderson, MP, Councillor Dr. Michael Hardacre, Councillor Steve Simkins, Jane Stevenson, MP, and also Mikhail Fedik, the chair of the Ukrainian Youth Association. Councillor Ian Brookfield is the leader of the City of Wolverhampton Council. He wasn't able to be at the event, but I caught up with him and gave him that opportunity to share his thoughts. So it's great to welcome onto the show Ian Brookfield, leader of the City of Wolverhampton Council. This weekend, Ian, marking the anniversary of the outbreak of war in Ukraine, or I should say the illegal invasion of Ukraine, is a better way of putting it, really. And the ceremony obviously held in the civic outside the civic centre. Your thoughts, really, on this anniversary?
It's not a great anniversary, you know, the first year of that illegal invasion. But what it's done is bring a lot of people together who probably haven't been together before. So, you know, the expats from Ukraine, I know a lot of people were around at the commemoration of the first year anniversary, but it's brought a lot of people around. I seem to think that most people in this country, you know, are appalled at what happens. You know, they see the pictures, they see the illegal bombings of residents and residential areas, you know. The Russians, I'm afraid, aren't following the normal conventions.
Yeah, war crimes. That's just fair. Let's say it as it is, shall we? No one's going to come after us for it.
Well, listen, I don't care if they do. They are war crimes, and they will be investigated as war crimes. And it's not good. So that actually, conversely, doesn't do them any good. Mm. It's made them a pariah state now, Russia. Nobody wants the war to continue, so as quickly as it can be resolved with the immediate withdrawal from the whole of Ukraine, let's not forget Crimea, which was annexed 7-8 years ago. So as soon as that's done, all well and good. But it's right that we support and access the whole of the world. Well, yeah. apart from places like Syria and a couple of the African states that are bankrolled by Russia, the whole of the world is together on this, to try and help us as much as they can.
And here in Wolverhampton, really great Ukrainian community here, and people can support them by taking stuff down to the Ukrainian centre.
Yeah, people, we've still got to continue that support. It's not just at a military level. It comes down to a local level and, using local people with those links, being people who've lived in Ukraine, is the best way for local people to help out. And you're helping out individual people, individual families. So
yeah,
I'm sure people will continue.
Now, closer to home. Obviously, we talked before about the whole housing preserving greenbelt aspects, and this is going to be an ongoing battle, isn't it?
Well, it's been an ongoing battle about the government's imposition saying to Wolverhampton, you've got to provide 20,000 homes in your city, and the only way that could occur was by utilising the greenbelt. And actually, the government was saying that, no, you've got to provide it. But there's been a recent U-turn. There was 48 of their own MPs who said, we're not happy with this. It should be done at a local level and local people should decide. So I congratulate those 48, because what they've done, they've brought about a change that we've been fighting for, and indeed the Black Country and many other places. They've brought about a change where, whilst we're going through a consultation now, the early signals are it will come down to a local level. So what we've done, it's been our resolve from the very start. We've said not a blade of grass from our green belt, because we haven't got much. But there was sites in the south, southwest, the west side, sites in the south, southeast, about round Proud's Lane, and there was some in Bushby and Thorlands Park in the north of the city. And we've said not a blade of grass from them particular areas will be utilised. It will be brownfield only. Brownfield being stuff that's been built on our old, etc. And that's what we've done. And we've gone to full council and told people that, and we're going to stick by that, as long as the government doesn't do another U-turn.
Across the Black Country, though, obviously it's a mixed picture with regard to red and blue politically, isn't it, as well? But you're coming from a kind of decide it locally perspective.
Yeah, and it's got to be the way. I mean, it's still government legislation that every 15 years you've got to have a housing plan, and you've got to provide a certain amount of homes. That target will go, but we will provide thousands of homes, because new homes are needed, but we will provide them. But we'll provide them on sites that are not on greenbelt.
Right.
It's as simple as that. And whether we use old sites or some demolished sites, or density that is, more people in a higher rise type of situation, or above shops in the city centre, etc. And that's what we'll use to achieve what we need to achieve. But we're saying to governments quite clearly that we will not remove a single blade of our green field for building homes on. And I'm sure that's the message and the wish of what the people of our city want.
This week sees the new budget coming to council. What's going to be the priorities for this coming year?
Well, we've always prioritised children from my cabinet, etc. That will continue and expand. You'll have to wait until Wednesday to make sure it go through. But we're looking at free access for children to all our WV leisure sites, not think about that. Mm. That's a massive expansion and something really good for the youngsters in the city. And that's at a time where many other authorities are cutting back. We're looking at expanding and giving more to the people. So that's a really important announcement. It's the same for our elderly. You know, we've just ratified that we'll pay more for the social services, for social care. And what that means is there's a lot of pressure in homes and residences that look after our elderly. You know, we're talking, I think it's between 11 and a 20% increase in what we pay. That'll help make sure that the people who work there, many local people, will get the appropriate rise right up until the national living wage, and that's good for them, and help provide, keep people local, because we can't provide locally. What we then have to do, and it's an awful thing, is go to other Black Country authorities and purchase spaces there.
Right.
So we want spaces and the help and the home help all to be done by Wolverhampton people and Wolverhampton companies. So as you can see, that's a big expansion. It's a, top of my head, I think it's a £10 million plus expansion in the help we're giving to our local elderly. I say that. I can count myself as one of, I think I've gone past the middle ages.
I think you've got a conflict of interest now when you're supporting the elderly, actually.
Well, listen, the older you get, the more you have to think about it, Chris.
But, yeah, we do. It sounds like it's very people-centred, the budget, and we've talked about that before in terms of levelling up. You see it very much as being people-centred, really. They're at the heart of everything you're trying to do.
Well, listen, you're quite right, and it's something I started when I first went along to my group and says, I'm putting my name forward to Dad to be a leader. Everything I said to them was people-centred, people-focused. So whether we look about respecting our children, making sure we don't ever cut a penny from their budgets, that's been in there from the start. Now we're talking about housing or elderly. But of course, we've got a new problem, and that's the cost of living crisis. So we're putting real money in, over £1 million, on top of the government money. We do get some government money. I won't knock them for that. It's not enough, but we do get some. But that's not enough for us. So we're putting extra in, and that's our community shops. We'll be expanding another three in the next couple of months.
Right.
And they're helping people at the moment save about £7 million a year, you know, £30, £40 a week on your weekly shop. And that's just not, let me just say this, that's for every citizen. Whether you're working or you're not, you can use them.
And I had the chance last week to talk to John Raj over from Bilston as well, got there. Their numbers, and as it happened, I was visiting, I won't say where it was, I was in another local authority area that got a community shop. I said, oh, we're really pleased, we've got 40 members now. And so I said, well, actually, over in Wolverhampton, I've just spoken to someone who's got 700, and there's about 2,500 across the city as well. So it did make their eyes pop out.
Yeah.
It's growing.
I think it's up to about 6,000.
Is it now? Right.
We're opening another three, and you know that's going to help people. Everybody spends money on their groceries. Doesn't matter if you're working or on the benefit line or on benefits. Everyone has to spend money. You know, people can't live out of food banks. It's impossible. There's only so many bags of pasta or bags of beans that you can get out of a food bank. You can go to these places. They are a proper general store.
Yeah.
And, you know, they've got freezers. You know, this is not just a couple of things. They've got hundreds and hundreds of items, freezers, stuff for the kids. You can do your shop there and save, you know, 50%. And in this day and age, so part of that budget next week is expanding that. And other service, a big issue this week was beds and mattresses.
Right.
And you know, we've provided 1,000 beds and mattresses. There are people sleeping on the floor in the one room just to keep the heating down. There are people with no beds, kids with no beds. So it's all that plus supporting what we've got out there. But income maximisation sounds a big word, but it's telling people to access. Many of our people who are elderly are missing out to the tune of £40 million just in Wolverhampton by not claiming. So we, you know, doesn't take a lot to say, let's put some money into going out and helping people, filling their forms, because they're difficult. They are difficult. They're made to be difficult for these national benefits. And let's get that money where it's supposed to be, where it's allocated to. But because people don't apply for it, they miss out. We can bring in a hell of a lot more money by improving that. And that's going to be part of the offer in the budget next week as well.
That's Council Leader Ian Brookfield. John Denley is the Director of Public Health at the City of Wolverhampton. And there's a new health rewards app being launched just over a week ago. This was recorded before we had the latest numbers with regard to that health app. And by last Saturday, 8,000 had been downloaded. Here's John talking about it.
So it's great to welcome John Denley, Director of Public Health. And John, let's start off with an update on this fantastic health app that people are beginning to sign up to.
Yeah, we've had a great first few days, beginning of the week. At least that 5,000 people have downloaded it and ordered the fitness tracker. The great thing about that is it's also compatible with so many different other fitness trackers that we know the number is going to be a lot higher. We're waiting for tomorrow morning just to see where we've got to for a first week. And I think we're going to be over that kind of first milestone of 10,000, which will be absolutely wonderful. It just shows, Chris, really, it's really captured the imagination and the enthusiasm of the people of Wolverhampton.
So, John, obviously people are going to gain from this, from their own fitness. They're going to get some rewards as well. That's all a part of the incentive. Will you get data that you can use in helping shape services?
Yes, it is all part of a study. And that's really part of kind of building the evidence to see what works and what doesn't. So it's great that people are getting the benefits. It's great to be able to try it out on a personal level. But it all is all part of seeing whether incentivization and the element of digital technology does get people to move more and eat more healthily. So on that basis, we're looking for what those results will be. We'll probably get that in about 9 months' time, and we'll either help that policy to be rolled out for the rest of the country or even wider internationally. So it starts here in Wolverhampton.
It's always a good thing as well. Now, obviously, we know there's a lot of health inequality across the city. And so, therefore, are you able to see if some of the areas where there are worse health demographics than the others that are actually accessing it, or isn't that possible to track? Because obviously, one of the key things you want to do is to bring down that gap in the health inequalities.
Yeah, one of the reasons why we did this in Wolverhampton and had such a good relationship with our national colleagues was Wolverhampton is really diverse, isn't it? Diverse in relation to population groups, but also diverse in relation to health need and deprivation. So yeah, we'll be able to see what cohorts of the population or groups of the population that we really work with and where it doesn't make that much of an effect. But again, you know, Chris, this is the exciting thing with doing a really trailblazing project. We just don't know, and it's something to test. And that's just great. Again, that so many people in Wolverhampton are part of that.
And we'll make sure people get all the details and how to sign up, so they don't miss out on this one, because it's not often you get a freebie and also rewards, and also you're getting fitter at the same time.
It really is. It's very unique, and we're just great that we've been able to work that up. It's taken 2 years of really hard work whilst we're doing all the work in the background as well with COVID to be able to do this and get this launched. So we're really excited about it.
You mentioned COVID. Let's stick with there. What are the kind of numbers we're looking at the moment? I know the message is always get your top up.
Yeah, get your top up is the key message. But I think we're on about one in every 90. So it's getting less and less within the community, but it's still one in every 90. So that's quite a few people that are infectious out and about. So please just get yourself protected. I mean, there's no question around the evidence now. It makes a difference and it works.
Yeah, all the suspicion of the early days should be well pushed to one side now and moving forward. And obviously then looking at people's wider health needs, their checkups as well. You've obviously got the outreach in the Manda Centre there. Has that been popular? Has that sort of increased? Because you had lots of people going in with regard to COVID jabs. Has that sort of carried on?
Well, we had 22,000 people have used that for their COVID vaccine, which is absolutely fantastic. You'll notice if you go into for those who are walking by in the Manda Centre, it's now the health hub. So it's changed in terms of the fascia and the beginning and front of the shop. what we started to do is just for people to be able to drop in as they pop by and just get a routine, you know, blood pressure check and so forth, but also calling people in terms of those who need their health check or do their health check, and for them to come in. And all the feedback we've had is about how convenient and how accessible it's been. So it's only something to build on, and hopefully we'll get a lot more services being delivered from there very, very soon.
And you talked there about Wolverhampton trailblazing the health app. What about this idea of reaching out into the community? Because, again, not every local authority will do that. Are other local authorities looking at Wolverhampton and saying, hey, we can see all the outreach you're doing in the Manda Centre, faith groups, et cetera, et cetera, and they're beginning to pick up those lessons?
I'm really proud about Wolverhampton. I've had a number of texts this week from colleagues, not just locally in terms of West Midlands, but wider in terms of, I wish we'd managed to do the health app work, the fitness tracker. How did you manage to get the health hub up and running as well in terms of transforming a vaccination centre into something wider? So it feels as if it's all happening here in Wolverhampton. But more importantly, I think, really, is what created the environment to enable us to do that. And that's our cabinet member, our leader, our chief exec, all saying, this is what we want to do. Try things differently and get as much into Wolverhampton, see whether we can improve health and care.
And the partnership, obviously, with community groups as well, they've been crucial with that. So you can reach into parts of the community that sometimes are a bit distant.
Yep. Again, another key sell for us in Wolverhampton was what we did during COVID. I keep saying about our vaccine and our remember we were doing our COVID testing that was delivered right the way through all our faith communities by our faith communities, which again is very, very rare, if not unique compared to other areas.
Well, if we're not going to blow our own trumpet, nobody else is it? Are they? So let's just
Absolutely.
Get on with it. Now, drug and alcohol abuse, again, obviously there's always ongoing concern about that, but you're beginning to look at the facts and the figures around that and what can be done to support people.
Yeah, this week we presented two papers at Scrutiny. First one was on alcohol-specific deaths, and we've got the highest number of alcohol-specific deaths in the country at the moment, and that's really not good. We've been doing some work in the background to try and kind of tackle that and try and understand it a little bit more. The key things that came out from that, particularly for alcohol, is if you access services and you've identified an issue in relation to alcohol and you access the services for support, you've got a greater probability of recovering in our city compared to elsewhere. And on top of that, you've also got a greater probability, if you go through the treatment services, to actually get a job as well. So it's all part of the wraparound kind of service to get people back into that kind of stable kind of way of life, but also contributing back to the community. So we've been looking at that. But we've got a huge amount of unmet need, and that's been shown by the number of people who are dying early in relation to alcohol specifics. So we need to make sure we break down some of those barriers that we've got where people don't come forward until it really has damaged people's health. So what we'd really urge is either contact your GPs and get support via that route.
It sounds to what you're saying there, John, that there's also some stigma around this. Is, again, thinking of your reach out principle, are there ways by which people can go to places in a fairly anonymous way in order to get that help, or is that help already out there?
It's more common than people realise in terms of what help is out there. And you've got all our professionals within general practice, our doctors will be able to do that, but also our community pharmacists as well. So any help at all, you can have that word. You can also use any search engine and just put support in Wolverhampton and it will take you straight through to an organisation called Recovery Near You.
That's Director of Public Health at the City of Wolverhampton Council, John Denley. And if you want links to the app and also to Recovery Near You, then do go to the show notes for this podcast. Shobha Asipal is the Chief Executive of the All Saints Action Network. Lots of opportunities down there to get involved. It's great to welcome Shobha Asipal, who's the Chief Executive of the All Saints Action Network, which says it all, really, in terms of who you are and where you are. And you've centred a lot on volunteering, and there's great things to learn and develop through volunteering, isn't there?
There really is, Chris. There's so much that people can get out of volunteering. And it's absolutely a two-way street. It's not just the organisation that you're supporting, but in terms of what you get out of it yourself. I do volunteering. I've done volunteering over the years, and lots of people I know have. And it's actually more about what they get out of it as an individual, as well as the organisation. So that is a major part of it. Don't think that you're just giving your time and you're helping somebody else, but it actually the benefits to you will be substantial, I can assure you.
Yeah, it's not free labour, so nobody ever thinks it's free labour.
No,
and don't ever think you're going to be exploited through your volunteering. It actually can prepare people for jobs, it can create pathways for them, can't it?
Yeah, totally. You know, we have a range of objectives, really, when people come to us for volunteering. And some people, we've got a number of people who, as you've mentioned, come for improving their CV. So we have a cafe, we have admin facilities, we have a nursery, we've got wood recycling, we've got sports pitches. So there's such a range of things that we do. And if someone was interested in any of those areas, or just, you know, wanting to get back into work, having a bit of structure in their day to help them to add something to their CV, it's an ideal thing.
And you've got you've also got digital aspects in terms of social media as well. So you've got the whole range possible there. And it might be that people want to try something new, you know, just go in a new direction.
Yeah, totally. That's so true. With volunteering, you can take on some of those new areas which you might have thought that sound interesting, but you don't actually want to completely dive into. And in fact, on just talking about taster sessions for volunteers, we have got a taster day on the 9th of March in our wood depot. So if anyone wants to pop along, there'll be lovely refreshments, that there'll be a really nice setup, so you can have a go at doing a bit of furniture upcycling. I think we'll have some desks laid out, some tables laid out where you can make something. You can have a chat with Gordon, the carpenter. Yeah, you know, it is about coming and seeing what you might not think that you would totally be committed to doing. But come and have a look at it, and it might be something that you love and set you off in a completely new direction.
Indeed. Give it a go is the message. Give it a go.
Yeah.
Now, you're based in Dixon Street, but also you've got a new venture starting at Royal Hospital, Porter Cabin Cafe on Cleveland Road as well, haven't you? How did that come about?
Yeah. Well, the our charity now, Chris, is 25 years old this year.
Is it? Wow.
So, yeah. And, you know, that's not something which is to be sniffed at, really. You know, when you think about some of the good and the great businesses that have so tragically gone out of business, we're very lucky and we feel very fortunate to still be here after 25 years as a charity.
And was it something that came out of New Deal for Communities that was around about that time? The All Saints and Black, All Saints, ABCD it was, wasn't it?
It was ABD.
I was linked with this a long time ago, so it's amazing how those 25 years fly by.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's great that with many organisations within the city, you'll be able to see that there is a legacy from that funding. And I wasn't here at that particular point in time, but legacy is the most important thing, that, you know, you don't, that the government or whoever it is, isn't just pouring funding into something which is then, you know, going to be gone the following year. So I'm really proud that we've been able to build on that. And as part of our objectives, really, we are always keen to look at how we can develop the area and support the area of All Saints. And we're really committed to making the area better. One of the reasons why the charity was set up 25 years ago was because of the decommissioning of the Royal Hospital. And there was concern that it would drive further decline into the area. And now we've got the Royal Hospital is redeveloped into, I think it's about 100, I can't remember, it's nearly 200 apartments, I think, off the top of my head. And the Porter's Lodge is a small building that is on that campus that we've just got planning permission for. So we're looking to develop that into a heritage cafe, which will celebrate the heritage of the Royal Hospital.
Excellent. So it's excellent. So 25 years and you're still developing, you're still growing and you're still spreading out, and that legacy continues. If people want to know more, they can obviously go to your website, which is www.asan.org.uk, and your number's 01902877530, and I will put everything on our links as well when it goes out as a podcast, and I'll repeat them later on in the show.
Can I plug a couple of things, Chris?
You may. Well, you got my attention. Yeah, go on.
We have 3 5-a-side 3G pitches, and we would love more people from the community to use those. You know, we have community concessions, and that's a lovely space for people, not just to play soccer, but, you know, they can do other things on the pitches as well. So 9th of March, we've got the Wood Saints Open Day and Taster Day for volunteers. And on the 15th of March, we're having a thrift market in our ASAN workspace building. And so that really is sort of, I think they call them in America, the seek and find. So you can have a good old rummage and look for lovely pre-loved things. And that all of that connects with our recycling, reuse.
It just gives the impression there's a lot going on, and people need to get down to your website and your Facebook page as well.
Yeah.
But thanks very much, bringing it up to date, and, you know, keep in touch. Join the year, join your celebratory year.
That would be great. Love to come back, Chris. Thank you so much.
That's Shoba Asapul of the All Saints Action Network, Chief Executive down there. And if it goes to show notes, you can see the link to their website. We can see everything that's going on. And that's it from me for this week's podcast. If you've got any news stories for me, you can email me, chris@wcrfm.com. And I look forward to joining me next time on the podcast, or possibly on WCRFM on a Sunday between 7 and 10 and 12 and 2.